Wisconsin is now one step closer to a higher speed limit. A bill that would increase the state speed limit to 70 miles per hour in some areas cleared the Assembly Transportation Committee and now goes to the full Assembly for a vote.
And our next guest is in favor of that change. We're joined now by John Bowman, Communications Director for the National Motorists Association. John, welcome to Central Time.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So why raise the speed limit to 70 miles an hour here in Wisconsin?
Well, there are several reasons why you would want to do that. First of all, if you look at what surrounding states are doing here in the Midwest, virtually all of Wisconsin's neighbors have either raised up their speed limits to 70 miles per hour or are in the process of doing it. And if you actually go back and look at the highway fatality rates in those states, you'll find that they're actually lower than they are here in Wisconsin. So there is, believe it or not, there is a safety benefit to raising speeds up to their safe and appropriate levels. And so that's what Wisconsin would be doing here. So there's definitely a safety benefit to it, as well as some other convenience and efficiency benefits associated with raising the speed up.
Is Wisconsin comparable in terms of the way that its roadways are structured? I'm just thinking, you know, Minnesota is sort of a plain state. There's a lot of ground to cover. Illinois is flat. Is Wisconsin similar?
In terms of how its interstates and major freeways are structured and engineered, it certainly is. If you go back to when the interstates were built, 40, 50 years ago, you'll find that throughout the country they were, in fact, engineered and built to tolerate speeds of 70 to 75 miles per hour. So, in fact, they've probably gotten safer since then. Certainly, vehicle technology and design has improved. So really, the roads can handle it throughout the country, and certainly the vehicles can as well.
Now, we covered this topic before, this proposal, when we first heard about it here on Central Time. And judging by the feedback we got on the Facebook page, some callers, the number one concern people have is safety. Now, if we raise the speed limit, are we sacrificing safety for convenience?
Actually, if you look at studies and you look at what happens in the real world, when speed limits go up like this, you actually find that it reduces accidents. And the reason for that is that when you raise speed limits up to their safe and appropriate levels based on traffic engineering standards, what you're doing is you're decreasing the speed variability among vehicles on the road, which is the cause for most vehicle conflicts and accidents. So for many years, we have had highway speeds that have been sort of artificially depressed, and now when we're getting them back up to where they should have been set all along, we're actually in the process of increasing highway safety. It sounds a little counterintuitive, but if you look at what happens in other states, for example, in Utah a few years ago, they raised a stretch of interstate up to 80 miles an hour from 75 miles per hour, and people had safety concerns. What happened, in fact, was really nothing. The speeds that people actually drove on that highway didn't change, and there was no increase in accidents or in fatalities. So it really does have a safety benefit when you do it the right way.
What about the concern that, you know, right now the speed limit's 65, and so therefore people usually, you know, drive 75, and if you make it 70, people will drive 80, 85?
Mm-hmm.
Or do people regulate themselves?
Yeah, people do regulate themselves, and that's really a good way to look at it. Again, when they've done studies and when they look at the speeds that people actually travel on the highways, they find that people reach a limit that is both safe and comfortable for them, no matter what the posted speed is. So people's travel speeds tend to be independent of the actual posted speed. So on a highway, let's say like I-94 between Milwaukee and Madison, you could raise the speed limit up to 85 or 90, not that you ever would, and you wouldn't find that people's travel speeds would really change all that much simply because they wouldn't feel safe going those higher speeds.
Now, there was a Democratic representative who suggested amending the bill to include stiffer penalties for things like distracted driving and not wearing a seatbelt. If the speed limit goes up, should these penalties go up, too?
Well, we've reviewed that. We've also reviewed the original bill, of course, and our organization supports the intent of the original bill. We'd like a little bit more time to kind of go through the amendments. They just came out in the last day or two. Our preference would be to sort of keep those issues separate from the speed limit bill. Quite frankly, there are already in place penalties for inattentive driving and for seatbelt violations. So we would probably just want to let those stand as they are.
Now, you mentioned efficiency and said this would be more efficient if the speed limit was raised. How exactly would that work, and wouldn't we be using more gas?
Well, again, what you have to keep in mind is that people are already going those speeds. If you've ever driven on the interstate, you know, between, again, here and Milwaukee or Madison and Twin Cities or whatever, you find that people are already going those speeds. So you wouldn't expect to see much of an increase, in actual travel speeds. What you would see, though, is by getting speed limits posted appropriately, is that you would see more of the slower drivers on the road actually increasing their speeds to match that of traffic around them. And in so doing, you're increasing traffic flow, you're decreasing bottlenecks, you're decreasing conflicts between and among vehicles. So you are actually increasing highway efficiency and, in some regards, helping with fuel usage, because you're decreasing the amount of stopping and starting, fast accelerations, quick lane changes. All of those contribute to fuel usage.
Now, I want to go back to the safety question for a moment. And you said that from what we've seen in other states, it hasn't resulted in highways that are less safe. But what about drunken driving? Now, if we raise the speed limit and we have someone who's driving drunk, doesn't that mean that, you know, just simple physics and impact is harder when you're going faster? More people would die.
Well, simple physics is always in play. And certainly vehicles traveling at higher rates of speed do have a greater impact when they strike other vehicles. Overall, though, when you set the speed limits correctly, you actually reduce the number of vehicle conflicts and therefore reduce the total number of accidents on the road. So it does have a preventative effect. Again, it sounds a little counterintuitive, but if you can reduce the overall number of accidents on highways, I would say that that is the primary safety benefit. And when they do this in other states, that's what happens. So we see it as a safety benefit.
But would those accidents that did happen, would they be more likely to have fatalities?
It is possible. If you're already going at that speed, like I say, most people aren't going to change their driving habits very much because of this. And I'm not really sure that someone who is driving impaired on the highway is going to be paying a whole lot of attention to the speed limit anyways. I think studies have shown that that's not necessarily the case. So I don't think you're going to see much difference in the overall accident rates. If anything, they're going to improve.
So, John, if this bill becomes law, do you have an idea of how soon the change is going to take effect?
I don't know the details on that. I would imagine that the Wisconsin DOT, as well as the legislative people looking at this, would have a better sense of that. That could even be kind of up in the air right now, since the bill has not passed the full House. And from there, it would need to go through the whole Senate process, probably being reviewed in at least one committee, if not two or more. So changes could take place between now and when the bill is eventually passed into law.
All right. Well, John, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We've been talking to John Bowman, the communications director for the National Motorists Association.